Well, we're back on the porch, and this porch time swing. We have two Gormans with me, so I'm going to be a little overwhelmed. Jeffrey Gorman and Bev Gorman, which both of them, by the way, are staff members for The Meadow, so you can find out more about The Meadow on the internet. But today, we're going to sort of wrap up this idea of presence, and we want to give you some of the great books that have been written on presence, that if you want to get into a deeper, more intimate relationship with God, these are books that will really help you to be able to do that. So Jeff, being the youngest, is going to sort of kick us off.
Before beauty? No, beauty before age.
I have age and beauty, so.
We'll kick things off with a book that I read in 2014 by a teacher who's very, very dear to me. Cynthia Bourgeau is her name. And the book is called Centering Prayer and Inner Awakening. And she's written extensively over the years, but I think Bob referenced that book in last week's talk. It is a great starting place to get both the theology and the nuts and bolts of what centering prayer is and how it works, and some of the pitfalls that people encounter, and how to work through certain things. It's really readable. I'm trying to think about how I could even summarize her kind of main points, but one thing that Cynthia really holds to be very helpful in the Christian life and the spiritual journey is that you really have to practice presence, and you really have to practice your faith. And it's almost like getting a spiritual workout. It's almost like there are certain muscles in your mind and in your heart and in your body that you're working out. And so centering prayer is a way to do that, is a way to start to work out those muscles. And one thing that she suggests is that, you know, it's hard to find the time for a lot of people that are living in modern society that have kids and a family and a mortgage and all that, but she does recommend, and this would be in line with Thomas Keating as well, spending two sessions each day of 20 minutes each going at it with centering prayer. And basically that is, as a thought enters your stream of consciousness, you simply let it go. And the mechanism by which you do so is that you have a particular release word, which Bob mentioned last week. So that might be something like Jesus or love or trust or peace. And so that idea comes into mind and you let it go. And it might come right back and you might have 10,000 thoughts in the course of 20 minutes. And that's all right. You just keep on letting it go and letting it go. The counter to that would be throughout the day, you're practicing something called the welcome prayer or the prayer of welcome. So you've got your particular time, your 20-minute, two 20-minute sessions, or one 20-minute session, or one 10-minute session, if that's all you can do, where you're releasing those thoughts, feelings, emotions, sensations. You're letting them go through the act of kenosis. And then throughout the day, you know, throughout the day, you have things to do. If an idea comes to mind that's on your to-do list, you can't just let it go. You know, you need to get things done. But what you're doing throughout the day to counter that is called the prayer of welcome, in which you welcome the sensations and the emotions that are behind your thoughts and feelings rather than running away from them. So those are two of the practices that she works through. The book came out in, I think, around 2005, and it's a great read. So it's Cynthia Bourgeau, Centering Prayer and Inner Awakening, and check it out.
And along that same line, I'm reading this great Cynthia Bourgeau book as well. It's called The Wisdom Jesus, Transforming Heart and Mind, A New Perspective on Christ and His Message. And basically, she's taking what Jeffrey's talking about, but she's talking about how Christ came to not only release us from our sin and redemption, but he came as a teacher of transformation of our consciousness. And a lot of what we've been talking about over the last couple weeks is this awakening and becoming more present and more fully awake and more fully alive through our sensations. And that Jesus comes to meet us in those actual sensations, but to move us from more of the reptilian brain, which is really where fear, anger, and shame, you know, those are really survival mechanisms that were necessary, but they're actually not, they're no longer the things that are going to help transform our consciousness. And this is a great, great book on just giving you the real tangible ways of, like, the welcoming prayer of focusing, noticing the sensations that are coming, and really avoiding repressing and dissociating, because as we do that, we actually become numb and fall asleep and go back into our trance. And so one of the first things we do is we focus on what's happening on our in our bodies and our breath, and then we begin welcoming the emotions that are actually coming. Welcome fear, welcome anger, welcome pain, welcome sorrow. And as we welcome them, we begin to give them our compassionate attention, which is a very different, we're almost looking at it with the eyes of Christ. It's not coming to condemn that we're fearing and that we're hating or that we're lusting or whatever it is. It's coming with our compassionate attention to being kind to ourselves in that, and allowing our consciousness to be awakened, to take us up into the holy places, to look at that in a place where, it's as Gerald Maid says, it's actually rooting us more in the now. And then as we let go, and she's funny because she really cautions you not to let go too quickly. And I think in Christianity, we've been taught immediately to reframe, find a scripture and reframe. Get out of that mindset, turn it off, go here. And she actually warns really about this step is the last step in letting go, because we have to be in those first parts of the focus, the sensation, and the welcoming. And that's where Christ actually comes in and begins to meet us and bring this healing and bring this transformation, so that we're not, our consciousness is awakened and we're beginning to put on the actual mind of Christ.
And see, I think what you're saying, Bev, is very, very big thing. And it's what people are hungering for right now. In the last 100 years, spiritual transformation has been having proper theology. Mm-hmm. And so if you have good theology, you become a good person. Well, it's like our education system. We educate people and we think they become good people, but that system creates some monsters. And I think, you know, it's like Paul says, you know, to think you know you don't know as you ought to know. And I think theology in a lot of way creates more arrogance. It doesn't mm-hmm. create the character of Christ. The other thing is we feel like if we do enough things, that if we give money away, if we're missionaries to Africa, if we, you know, help the poor out and do all those things, that will transform us. Those things are all good, but they've got to come out of transformation. They will not transform you. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, you're reverting back to basically being legalistic, because you're justifying yourself by your works instead of being justified by Christ. As you develop the mind of Christ, as you get this transformational mind that Bev's talking about, that's when you have a hunger to care for the poor and for the sick and for the, you know, the hurting and things of the world. And then it becomes Mother Teresa level of caring. So it's a pretty vital thing to realize the transformation we're talking about will bring new life, more hunger, more oneness with God's heart for the world. And, you know, the old ways of doing it haven't worked and have left people very disinterested in church, because theology is not enough. It's good to have a good theological foundation. Good works are not enough. You know, we want our good works coming out of uniting our heart with God's mind.
Yeah. It's funny because I was thinking about like the Psalms. If you look at the Psalms, really the Psalms are exactly the welcoming prayer, because they spend the majority of the Psalm, the psalmist is praying through the emotional. He's either hating or angry or whatever it is. Like, he's spending the majority of that Psalm dealing with the rawness of that emotion. And I think that's what... It's like, if I have hate in my heart, I can't just turn that off and say, well, God, just help me to love them. Yeah. I mean, I have to sit with my hatred, and I have to sit with almost welcoming the hatred, so that it is not, I'm not attached to it. It's not the dominant thing of my, that it's my go-to, and now I'm holding on to it so tenaciously. I'm actually welcoming it as the teacher. What does hatred have to teach me, and how is my mind being transformed into a higher consciousness about hatred? Hatred is a very guttural, raw, reptilian response.
And see, you know, I think a great example of this is ISIS. Is ISIS believe that they are doing righteous things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it gets absurd when you begin seeing the great dehumanizing things that they've done to people. But it's, you know, it is a religion about, you know, bringing justice to the world. And it's so distorted because they do not have the mind of God in bringing that. It's become so distorted, and, you know, so there is not a transformation in who they are. It's a, yeah. You know, it's the ultimate self-righteousness. Well, before we run out of time here, I want to talk about two classic books. One may be the greatest book ever written.
Would you say about every book ever written?
Well, we'll get back to that in a minute. But a book that a lot of people have heard of, it's a very popular book. I think a lot of people have read it. Most of us, and I read it, I never realized it, but it is about contemplative prayer, and that's Brother Lawrence's The Practice of the Presence of God. And it's a beautifully written book. It's pretty easy to understand. But, you know, of course, Brother Lawrence's classic statement is that he could feel the presence of God just as much when he was washing the dishes as he could when he was in chapel. And it's, you know, relatively small book, but it's a, you know, a very beautiful picture of contemplative prayer. And so that's something, you know, if you want to read about contemplative prayer, this is a very, very good book to do it. Now, the greatest book of all time.
Give it to us, Bobby.
I hate to say this, but I earnestly believe that it is maybe the greatest book of all time, but clearly the greatest book ever written on prayer. And it's a book called The Cloud of Unknowing. Mm-hmm. And it's written by an anonymous author, and they don't really know who it was that wrote it. But it's 2 or 3 page chapters, and it basically, it's 75 chapters teaching you how to do centering prayer. And a lot of the stuff that we've heard today, you know, is stuff that this anonymous author developed in the 1500s. And it is just an amazing book and very, very relevant. Now, a couple warnings I want to say to you. If you get it, make sure you get it in modern English, because mm-hmm. it's written in old English, yeah. And you can't understand a word it's saying. The book that I have has 75 pages on trying to prove who the author is. Really, it's totally irrelevant. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. So don't waste your time reading that. When I first got the book, I read that, and I never, ever got past that total waste of time. So mm-hmm. go right. You can read about sort of the introduction to what it is, but know that when he talks about discipline, he's talking about contemplative prayer. And go right to what he's saying to you. And he'll tell you it's not for the tame. It's for people who want to know and walk into a deeper relationship with God. So the greatest book of all time, or at least the greatest prayer book of all time, The Cloud of Unknowing, which is by an anonymous author.
To learn more about The Meadow, go to www.meadowfor.org. There you can sign up for our email list to learn about upcoming events in the Baltimore area, as well as upcoming retreats in Western Maryland. We've kicked off our summer podcast series, The Podcast on the Porch, where we talk about current and relative topics in regards to Christian spirituality. Subscribe to our Podbean page to hear more.